Kids are dismissed to children's church. Thank you, worship team, for rocking it. And man, the Lord is good. You guys ready for the gift of the Word of God to be preached this morning? I know I am. I'm excited about the message today, Anna. This is going to be the last message to wrap up what we've been discussing about men, biblical men. And in order to kick this off, I need to read two scriptures real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13 and 14. And it says here, be on the alert. Be on the what? Gotcha. Stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in what? Hoorah, hoorah. And then can you say this one? It says, act like men. Ugh. Yeah, some of you did go, ugh. That was good. If that's not enough, it says, be strong. Show me your muscles. You know, the older we get, that's weird, isn't it? And but when you're little kids, it's like, show me your muscles. And these little scrawny, no, like, you know, anything's like, you're like, oh, that's so cute. You're so strong. And let all that you do be done in love. What do we do it in?
Love.
I love that. So be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like what?
Act like men.
You already forgot. Act like what? Hey, man, we're going to act like men. We're going to be strong and let everything that we are going to do be done in love. And then I want to read this one, Proverbs 28. Verse 1. Proverbs 28, verse 1. It says, the wicked run away when no one is chasing them, but the godly are as bold as lions. The wicked run away when no one is chasing them, but the godly are as bold as lions. This last message in the series of What is a Biblical Man, we're going to be bold as lions. Biblical men are bold as lions. If you want to know what the encouragement is that's going to happen today, God's going to give us gifts, and the preaching of the word today is going to accomplish something. It's going to accomplish encouraging you to be bold. And I believe this is the day where we need more bold people. This is flies in the face of everything that is happening right now that is trying to make us timid or pull back. God is telling biblical men to stand up, to talk up, to show up, and to do things, to be bold as lions. When all hell is saying, be quiet, sit down, don't make waves. No, biblical men are called right now in this season to be bold as lions. Now, I need to kind of set the tone of my understanding of bold as lions. In order to do this, I need to reference a higher kind of illustration. In Monty Python's Holy Grail, they face all kinds of difficulties. And one of the final difficulties is they face a killer rabbit. King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table face a killer rabbit. If you've seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail, I will not embarrass your Christianity by asking you to raise your hand and, you know, say everything. But just know, I've seen it. and I've suffered because of it, okay? But I love it anyway. And in that moment that they encounter the killer rabbit that looks so cute until it flies yards from one spot to another and decapitates its enemies, and it does this. We hear the words that every biblical man should say. Run away! As King Arthur leads his mighty band of men to run away. And this sadly is the case for many people today. You know? Whatever it might be, if it's the voice of this world or this culture or the voice inside of our head, it raises up like a vicious killer rabbit. And we go, run away! It doesn't take much to make us run away. I remember one time I worked in St. Louis, and we've got two of our favorite people from St. Louis, Wally and Joanne, are here, and we love them. They're like our adopted grandparents. And while I was working in St. Louis, I had people that I worked with. One of them was, his name was Frank. Frank had one oar out of the water, I think, and he was loved by everyone. When I, do you understand what I mean? When one oar, okay, all right, I don't need to expound on it. He's a little odd, though. And I was a janitor at this time, and Frank had a passion, and it was terrorizing me. He really did. He liked to hide in the four different buildings, 55,000 square feet, and spread all over, gyms and kitchens and closets everywhere, rooms everywhere. It was an old school building that we had redone and did all this kind of stuff. And he made it his goal to find new places to hide, so that while I'm cleaning or doing work, he would terrorize the snot out of me. And there were many, many times, like King Arthur, I ran away. And one particular day, I was cleaning, and I went into the gymnasium, and I'm there in the sanctuary space in gym, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to go into the kitchen. And I'd been cleaning for hours, and I had no idea that these little beady eyes had been watching me the whole time. And then these little beady eyes, which is all you could see because this particular day he dressed as a ninja. He was wrapped in all black, and you could just see his beady little eyes. And then he climbed, he took out the ceiling tiles above the kitchen, and he was in the ceiling. I'm not exaggerating any of this or making it up. He's in the ceiling like this, waiting for me. Now, you need to know, this is not like strange, or I'm not unaware of this. And so I had a great armor of God. Whenever I got the EBGBs and the hair on the back of my neck would stand up like Frank was watching me and about to scare me, I had a proper way to respond. I would sing worship songs and praise songs. I'd be like, you know, singing whatever it is. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us. So you get, because sometimes I'd be cleaning at 1 a.m. It didn't stop Frank. He'd be there at 1 a.m. Shout to the Lord, you know, like that. And as I'm walking to the kitchen, I didn't have any alerts, any alarms, nothing. And I open up the door to that kitchen, take one step in, and out from above me comes a black ninja. He falls right in front of me. He doesn't know ninja moves. He just surprised, and he goes, huzzah! And I just go, ah! And I'm down, and my heartbeat is going, and I'm like, and Frank did what he always does at that moment. And I was like, I'm going to get you. So I don't know if I learned to scare people and cause them to have fear and terror at that time. But in those moments, I really wanted to get them back. And I did that a lot. And I had fun with that. But we are not talking about fun scares. And we're not talking about ninjas hiding in the ceilings and things like that. I'm talking about things that have crippled men from being what God's called them to be. I wish I could laugh at stuff like that, but it's no laughing matter. Here's what cowardice looks like in our day and age, or in our day and age. Powerfully trained police officers are called to an emergency scene where there is a shooter at an elementary school. And they show up within 4 minutes. And all these men with powerful vests, powerful weapons, gear to protect them, and training and knowledge, but more importantly, a title that says, you are the one person that when all hell breaks loose, we call you as a first responder, a police officer, to show up and protect people who can't protect themselves. And in that moment in Uvalde, the police officers show up and they didn't go in and breach while a crazy teenager just massacres tons of kids and teachers and adults. During that time, we had news reporters show up. They still didn't go in and breach. When the news reporters show up, the parents of those kids that were getting shot saw what was happening, and moms, this is no joke, moms show up to the school, and where male individuals who are not men were waiting with all the excuses they could use of, we're not SWAT team, or we're not, you know, this, we're going to wait until the scene is secure. It's a load of crap. And these moms are there at the school trying to breach the doors those men should have. And one of those men tried to go in, and his superior said, no, wait. And so he was told to wait. Cowardice. And they should be ashamed. And we as a nation should look at that and go, that is appalling. And I look at that and I think, you know what? It's no different than what we see in not just that situation, but in society as a whole. We see someone losing their temper at someone else. We don't intervene. Why? We don't want to be sued. We don't want to, I mean, I'm not going to stand up and stick my nose into somebody else's business, even if it's risking life and limb on a subway. Even if a man is beating up a woman in the front yard of their house, we've got men that aren't going to step in and say, knock it off. I don't care what the reason is. You do not hit that woman. We don't have men who do that anymore. But rewind to what it looked like at different times in our American history, modern times even. I remember where I was at, 2001, 9/11. I remember where I was at. When the news came over and I saw it on the screen at the YMCA gym where I was leading a Bible study for men who were learning this one thing. I was teaching them. I was like, you know, physical exercise profits little. It does profit, but it profits little. Godliness profits always. And then this shows up and I'm watching stunned with the whole world as one tower and another tower is hit by those planes and flames and stuff engulf, and you see people jumping out of high-rise buildings trying to escape the inferno that they're in. And during that 56 minutes for one tower and an hour and so many minutes for the second tower, over 350 first responders who are firefighters and paramedics don't run away from the building as over 1,500 people are trying to get out of those buildings. They're running into the building. And then on top of that, you had all the police officers and they are running into those buildings. Took those buildings, if you remember, 12 seconds for both those buildings to collapse, killing all of them. No one thought on those moments as a first responder in New York, should we run in? It was not like Uvalde. It wasn't like that. They had no doubt in their mind when everyone's running, us as men run to that flame. And you think that's awesome? I love that. But let's go back even further. Woo! Omaha Beach, June 6th, 1944. I wasn't even born yet. The closest thing I will ever hope to get to this scenario was pictured in the movie Saving Private Ryan. The first 25 minutes were so graphic. When they first screened it for veterans, veterans were passing out and they were getting sick and they had to be escorted because it stirred up post-traumatic stress and all kinds of stuff, and they had to see therapists because of it. It was so shocking and so real. And I looked at that and I was glued like all those who saw that movie, Saving Private Ryan, for the first time. Why? Because it is hard for our minds to imagine what kind of a man it is to be put in one of those big shoebox-looking boats and be driven to Omaha Beach and watch that front door fall down while they pre-sighted every one of those machine guns and they just mowed down, and in a split second, everyone in that boat was killed. And as you look at that whole beach, the entire beach is littered with limbs and bodies that are just mutilated from all that has happened. But again and again and again, not hundreds, thousands of men stormed that beach. And by sheer force and sheer willpower, they took that beach and established a beachhead. And you saw so much. We won. I mean, you look at that and you think, what is the difference of that kind of a man with the kind of a man today that thinks his bold move is to show up to a library, dress like a girl, and teach little kids how to not talk like a man, walk like a man, but to talk like a girl. Well, no, he still talks like a man. He just is ugly looking now as a girl. And he's trying to tell them, this is the way men are. That's insanity. That's insanity. And all the while, we think that's the focus in the battlefront. No, the real battlefront for us is in our homes where men aren't leading by example. It's in our churches when no men volunteer because they don't care. It's in the Bible classes where men aren't teaching Bible classes anymore. Why? They haven't spent the time to even learn the Bible. We'll let the girls do that. We live in a day and age where I think this younger generation is saying, you know what? We have not been served well by the men that were leading us as dads and grandpas. Why? Because they checked out. My generation, according to IY, the book IY, Tim Elmore says, my generation is aimless. So I'm at fault. We as men have failed to teach the next generation what bold, lion-like men are. And so this morning, I feel deeply inspired to teach a boldness. I talked about four qualities, right? Talked about four qualities that biblical men have to have relationship, first with God and relationships with others, and that's important. And we looked at Genesis. And then I said, it's not just a relationship with God, because you might say you believe in God, but you look like a dirty, rotten heathen. And it ain't going to do anything in your life or anyone else's, because you say you're saved, but you are still living like a heathen. And that just messes things up. So you have to have a conforming to Christ-likeness. You have to let the Holy Spirit accomplish the good work he started in you. That takes a submission, doesn't it? It looks similar to the discipline in, I guess, boot camp, right? It takes that submission. But we've got men that don't want to submit. They don't want to submit to a pastor. They don't want to submit to another person. They don't believe in that unless it's beneficial to them. And we've got to remember that God loves people who submit to authority that's established. Why? It's how he promotes you. Wow. So we need people who are conforming to Christ's likeness, that's for sure. And then in addition to just relationship and that conforming to Christ-like image, we talked about some other things, didn't we? Whoo, man. When I talked about work, I got on the preach right there. I'm telling you, that was some preaching. I was like, we need men who work. And I'm just thinking, boy, where are all the men? We need men who actually show up and do the work, the hard work, both in the church and in their Christian life and all these things. And we went on and on and on and on about all of that. You know, but let me skip ahead to this today. What in the world does a biblical man that looks like a lion look like? I'll tell you, we've got a great example out of Scripture. 1 Samuel 17, you know this story and you could tell this story, so I'm not going to go all the way through it, but I'm going to reference it real quick. In 1 Samuel 17, we see a young man who is already a bold lion. His name's David. In this, he comes to bring food to his brothers who are at the battle, but they're all cowardice. They've already defeated so many enemies prior to this. Why in the world would they be cowardly right now? Well, there's a giant that they're facing. And this giant, Goliath, is mocking the nation, mocking their gods. And the king himself, Saul, is right there. And all those men, right there. You would have thought any one of them would have been bold as a lion and go. But none of them did. And for days on end, days and days and days, this whole repetition of mocking him went on and on. Until finally, David says, what in the world? And David goes to King Saul, and Saul says this in 1 Samuel 17, verses 33 through 37. He says, David, you are not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him. You're just a youth. You're just a youth. So, I love this. And, I mean, and he goes, when this guy right here, he was a warrior from his youth. David says to Saul, he says, but your servant has been tending his father's sheep. When a lion and a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after them and I attacked them and I rescued them from their mouths. And when they rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and I struck him and killed him. Picture that. How do you do that? I don't know. Does he bite back? I seized him by his beard and I killed him. I can't even imagine how that happens. One time, I fought a kid at the bus stop named Joe Club because he made fun of my little sister. Joe Club was three times my size. And it's funny that his name was Club. Joe Club. You can't even make that up. That was his real name. And there at the bus stop, I'm in, you know, fourth grade. And Joe's like this, you know. And my little sister, Trisha, it was the first time she's going to this elementary school. And Joe just starts making fun of her. And I tell him, you stop that. I'm going to beat you up. And he just looks at me and he's like, ha, that's so funny. And he didn't stop. So then I came at him with all the force of a spider monkey and I swung at him. And then as I remember it, which I'm sure it was completely accurate, by the time the bus came to the bus stop, I'm sitting on his shoulders like this, like as if dad's carrying you around like that, sitting on his shoulders and I'm going, eesh, 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 eesh. To which he is crying and bleeding. No, he's not. He's laughing. And then he does this, picks me up and sets me down. He goes, it's okay, it's okay. And then we get on the bus. Humiliating doesn't even begin to describe the inadequate warfare that I tried to wage. It's just embarrassing. And yet, I'm looking at this and I read David as a youth seized a lion's beard and kills it. Show off. So, and skipping around, it says all of this stuff is just amazing that he does. And you can read that story. And when I look at what David did with Goliath, he embodies a bold man. And the reason he was bold was because of his experience with God Almighty. And so I look at this and I think to myself, God, what can I do today to encourage us to be more David-like and more bold? I don't have time today to talk about all the things that stir this message in my heart, but I can spend the next 15 or so minutes and fill your heart with all the things that build courage to do all that we've been called to do as men. You are hearing every day, whether we realize it or not, the voice that's in this world and the person in ruling over this world, Satan himself, is speaking things to us to steal our courage and to discourage us from ever doing what God is calling us to do. Fight giants. Take mountains, take that promised land, protect those that can't protect themselves, be a godly leader in your home, on and on and on. And so let's do that. I want to look at what does it look like to be encouraged. And here are, I'm going to go through these fast in Jesus' name. Yeah, let's do eight. We'll do eight of them. I could go longer, but we'll just do eight real quick. And these are all eight things that increase our courage, and I need it. And the first one is this. People can increase our courage. People. Can you turn to someone and say, people? People. We got any cheerleaders in the room? Anybody that was ever a cheerleader? Petrae was a cheerleader. Oh, he was a cheerleader? That's awesome. Come on, Troy, raise your hand. I know you were a cheerleader. Come on. And, you know, it says, I mean, cheerleaders are great, you know, go, go team, go, go team, go, go team, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, my wife was a cheerleader and everything. And, I think that's hilarious. And cheerleaders are awesome. I really do think they're amazing. And, I married one and, actually Troy married one too. But I believe cheerleading is one of those things that really reiterates this point. People that are with us can encourage us in the positive, or they can discourage us. How do I know this? Well, in Scripture, we see some examples of this. Ooh, ooh, ooh. The first one I want to point out is this. It's obscure maybe, but in 2 Samuel 4:1, it says, now when Ishbosheth, Saul's son, heard that Abner, this mighty man of war, had died in Hebron, he lost courage. And when this word courage is used, he lost an ability. His ability was zapped at the thought that Abner, this mighty man, this partner with him, is gone. Have you ever had that happen in you? You could do it if someone's there. If they're not there, oh, I don't know if I can do it. Yeah. Sometimes in order for us to be courageous, we need somebody with us, right? And I needed that the first time I went witnessing. If it wasn't for this one guy, Kenny Helmers. Kenny Helmers. Yeah, you think our names are funny? Come on. You don't even get me started with the ones up here in the north. There are some names. I think they were invented just to make white people feel dumb that don't live here. That's really what it was. Because they're hard to pronounce. But Kenny Helmers, he was a country bumpkin. And he would do this a lot with his pants, you know, like that. If you ever saw Mayberry, if you ever saw, you know, Barney Fife and all those guys, there was that, what is Ernest T., you know, and that guy would fight and he would do this and he'd run after him. And it was just weird and his hickas all get out. That was Kenny. Kenny was like that. But Kenny was bold and was not afraid of anybody. And one day I was talking to him about witness and he goes, let's go. So we went to this little place. It was like this arcade and club where every black gangster in town hung out. And we were two white people in a city that was rife with tensions that were prejudiced against skin colors. He's a hick, and I'm just a little skinny white kid. And he's like, let's go witness. And I went, where? This is going to be bad. And so he took me there. Without him, I couldn't have done this. And he had the biggest Bible. It was at least twice this size. And on the rib, he wrote Jesus in black marker. And this is the way he would witness. We'd go up to a group, 20 or 30 black boys that are all laughing and doing their thing. We are the last people they want to see. And he walks up like this. Boys, boys, come here, boys. He doesn't have a badge. He's not a police officer. He doesn't want. And you know what I do? I'm like, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. And Kenny's just right there, and he's like, what you boys need is Jesus. And they are looking at him like he is an alien from another planet. And I'm looking at him like that too. What in the world? And he goes, you need Jesus. Ben, you tell him all about it. Oh! Ah! This is horrible. Did not go good, but I couldn't have done it without Kenny. And maybe your Abner is not with you. Maybe your ability, you don't think you got that ability, you need somebody with you. If that's the way that you feel, here's what I would say, and it comes straight from the Psalms. Psalm 60, verse 12, Psalms 108, verse 13, both say this, with God, you can do valiantly. So with God, you can do valiantly. This is a beautiful thing. You don't need a Kenny Helmers, and you don't need an Abner. You need God. With God, you will do valiantly. And the funny thing is about valiant, what that means is it means you will act courageous and you will do strong things. Why? With God. So even a young youth like a David can do valiantly with God. And that's what David pointed out. He faced that giant. He goes, well, I got God on my side. That's the God of angel armies. That's just a little scrawny giant. Soon I'm going to take his head. You know, he could do that with God and do valiantly. I love that. I believe that you're here today and you needed to hear you can be forceful and do courageous things with God. I almost felt this morning that I needed to be like Moses to a generation of Joshuas. Moses in Deuteronomy 1:38 and again in chapter 3, verse 28, he was charged by God. He said, God told Moses, he said, you encourage Joshua. You pass on this boldness to him. He's got to have that boldness. You encourage him. Some of you in this room need to take that mantle on. Young people need you as a Moses to encourage them. And if you don't do it, there is not necessarily another Moses who will be ready to jump in and fill your shoes. So if you're my age or older, you need to take this serious and say, I've got to find someone younger that I can encourage, invest in. That's what work means, right? So let's go on to the second thing that will bring courage. And I love this one. We gain courage not just through the people that we're with or who's with us. We gain courage through revelation from God. This sounds big, but it's not that hard to understand. What this means is we gain courage when we finally see what God wants us to see. If we don't see what God wants us to see, we might misinterpret the situation and have unnecessary fear and restraint because we're misinterpreting things. But the minute you have a revelation, a revealing of what God says, you can have boldness. Well, one of the greatest examples of this is the prophet Elisha with his servant. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. His little servant was like me with Kenny Helmers, scared. And he's like, look at the men all around us about to attack. And the prophet just prays to God. Oh, Lord, this is my attitude. You know, oh, Lord, just open up my servant's eyes. Open up his eyes. And God opens up his eyes and he sees an army of angels around. And that revelation gives him courage. And so we gain true strength, David giant killing strength, when God reveals something to you. My wife tells me this sometimes. She says, let me read this verse first and then hold on. I'm going to get back and use my wife as an example. 2 Samuel 7:27 says this, "For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made a revelation to your servant." Think about what I just said about gaining courage. "You have made a revelation to your servant, saying, I will build you a house." Because of that revelation, here's what he says. "Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray for this purpose, build a house." So because of what the Lord revealed, he even had courage to pray. Now, how does this tie into my wife? Multiple times, my wife has told me, put your feet on the ground, so that you know if God is with us or this or that. She said that recently. She is irritating me with this concept. And it has happened more and more. And what she's referring to is there's been times where the Lord has revealed things to me that I would never have done this stuff, but God revealed something to my heart and I suddenly had courage to do whatever it was that God revealed. Before that, I wouldn't even have the courage to pray it. Have you ever been in that situation where, I don't know, you're timid, but when the Lord gives you a picture of what he sees, suddenly you start praying different? This could be in a matter of a healing. Someone calls you to pray for somebody, but you don't see the healing happening. It is hard to pray for a healing when you don't see a healing in God's economy. When you don't see it from that revealing, you've got to have that faith to see God do miracles. But it goes to all kinds of things in our life. You got to see the things that God says about you. And if you don't have that revealing, wait for that revealing. Hard to pray without that revealing or that courage. So the second one is we gain courage through the revelations that God gives us. I love that. Amen? How many need a revelation? Oh, man, a revelation. Boy, and no one else can reveal for you, only God. And no one else can have that revelation in your place. You have to have it. And when you see it, it doesn't matter if another person on the planet sees it. You see it, and you are bold as a lion. Man, I love that. All right, here's the third one. We gain courage based on what we're listening and hearing. We gain courage on what we're listening to or hearing. This is why cheerleaders are important. There was one. This is so cool. I was only sport that I did in high school really was wrestling. And then at some point, that just got creepy rolling around on a mat with sweaty boys. So then I switched to the theater so I could run with ladies. Sorry, I know that sounds so wrong to even say that like that. But this was the goofy thing. At our wrestling matches, all the girls would sit, you know, cross-legged on the mat, and they would hit the mat, and they would do this thing. And they would chant at us and say these things to go, go, and then it would chant back and forth, and we were just there in earshot, and, you know, and it was awesome. We had one kid, I think maybe there was, like, cocaine in those words he was listening to. It made him stronger and crazier, and this one guy, his name's Todd Medley. Todd Medley in district finals dislocated his shoulder, but there the cheerleaders are, "Go, Todd, you're awesome, you're a big hunk, I love you," you know, and they're cheering him on. Okay, that wasn't the cheer. I really don't know what it was. But he was pretty big and kind of hunkly. But he dislocated his shoulder, and they called him a moment. They stopped, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, man, we got to quit." But no, not Todd. Todd is like, strap it to my body and put me back in. And we're all there, and I'm like, oh. I mean, he was like godlike. I was like, what happened? Todd is amazing. And then he won. Talk about bragging rights. I think he peaked in high school. Sorry, I've not seen him on Facebook, so I don't know if that's true. But I look at, sorry, this is what happens in my mind. I need to get back to the message. What are we listening to? Let's get back to the message. Stop being distracted and let's get back to the message. Joshua 2, 8 through 11 says, when we heard this sound, our hearts melted and there was no courage that remained in any of our men any longer. Why? We're talking about the people in the city of Jericho, and they were hearing all about God and hearing all about what God had done, and their hearts were melting in them. No more courage, because all they heard was about the fame of God. And so in this, he said, we know this is the harlot. This is the prostitute who is, you know, saving the spies. And she says, yeah, we know that the Lord, your God, he is the God of heaven. He's above all the earth. And everything beneath it. I look at all of that and I think that is amazing. That's the negative. So these enemies of God, they hear the praises of God and they melt. That should be an incentive for us to praise God like we've never praised God before. Let's praise him, and praise him even around people who don't know the Lord. Why? It builds your courage and it tears them down in their courage to fight God. They will be pulled back. You got to praise God all the time around all kinds of people. But then not just that, Daniel heard the words of the Lord in chapter 10, verse 19. And it said that as soon as he heard the words of the Lord, he was strengthened. He was strengthened. And there are times when the word of the Lord comes and someone's speaking the word to you, you begin to feel strong. This is why I have overseers, and you know, people will call me. Like Mike Carmody just called 2 days ago and he said, we ain't talked in a while. You need to call me. We need to talk. And I was like, yeah, boss, we need to talk. You know, why? Because we'll talk the word and it encourages me. It fills me up. Why do we need this? Because we have Fox News and CBS, NBC, all these other things. And then we have your gripey old aunt or somebody that you're listening to all the time. And then you got kids probably, and they're a pain, you know. And you know, and you got your boss, and he's a pill. And if that, you look in the mirror, and you're getting old. I mean, man, horrible. I just found out I had a new wart, and it's got a mind of its own. And I'm like, what are you doing over there? And I was like, I mean, getting old and news and all this stuff is miserable. This is why you got to listen to the word of God. This is why you got to surround yourself with people who know the word of God, that will speak the word of God to you like a cheerleader. Go, go team, go, go team. Anyway. 4, how am I doing? I'm halfway done and we only have 1 minute left. So here what we're going to do, I'm going to do one more and then I'm going to focus on the rest of them in overflow. So the next one is this. How do we grow courage? Ooh, we grow courage in our mind and in our hearts when we wait on the Lord. Now this is important because it goes back to the disciplines of a man. If you are not spending time in the Word of God, in the presence of the Lord, and in prayer, you are not waiting on the Lord in one sense, but there's other senses in waiting on the Lord. You wait for that inspiration to hit. You wait for timing. The Lord's timing is beautiful. Without God's timing, don't do it. You won't have the courage. But when you wait on the Lord, you will be strong. Psalm 27:14 says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Psalm 31:24 says, be strong, let your heart take courage. All of you who hope in the Lord, wait for the Lord, take courage. Your heart's going to feel that strength. Hope in the Lord. You're going to feel stronger as you hope in the Lord. All of these things are important. Man, I almost can't stop. You got to hear this next one. And then I'm going to stop. That leads us to the wind of the Holy Spirit. which is the fifth area where we get strength. You're waiting on the Lord. That waiting on the Lord is a discipline. And you've got to do the effort to wait on the Lord and gain that muscle of waiting on the Lord and gaining strength. And honestly, in your own life, it might look like, I told you stories when I was in military school for that year. And kids would beat you up and do all kinds of stuff. Why? Because it was just a bad school. And they bulldozed that school down, thank the Lord. And but I would hide in the uniform closets to avoid some of the bullies. While I was in there, I'd wait on the Lord. And so when my mom and dad said, you do not have to go back to that military school, I had a courage to say, nope, I signed on. I'm going to finish it out. It's good for me. They looked at me like I was an alien. But something inside of me says, I'm not a quitter. And I'm not a chicken butt. And I need to wait on the Lord, and I need to do what God told me to do. And this was my choice. I said I wanted to go to military school, and so I'm going to stick it out. It's crazy. But you know what? If I didn't wait on the Lord, even if the motivation was fear, I wouldn't have been able to finish those classes or stay that year. Some of you are quitting way before your time, and it's because you have never developed strong enough waiting muscles. So develop those muscles. But this whole concept of waiting on the Lord and gaining strength leads to this next one, which is the wind of the Holy Spirit. Number five is the wind of the Holy Spirit, and it's the breath of God. From the very beginning in Genesis, the breath of God entered this form of dirt, clay, which was man. That breath animated man. And today, the breath of the Holy Spirit is still what animates godly men. The breath of the Holy Spirit animates godly men. When we look at this, I think, wow, God, why is this the way it is? I mean, why the wind and the Holy Spirit and breath? Do you know that 32 times specifically, this word translated courage in most of our English translations is the Hebrew word breath, ruach. And it's meant to be, it's this wind that fills your heart with whatever endurance and motivation to go and to do. It's an inspiration is another word I could use. You're inspired by this wind from somewhere. No one knows where it comes from or where it goes. That's how they describe the Holy Spirit. It's an inspiration that suddenly gets your heart and you go, oh, I can do that. I want to do that. I'm doing that. And then you do it. And you're like, what got into you? The Holy Spirit. And you could fast forward through all the Old Testament representations. The Holy Spirit, the breath of God comes on him and they do mighty things. In the New Testament, Jesus said, wait for it, guys. Wait for it. You got to remember these were the disciples, the same disciple chicken butts that scattered at the cross. They were all chicken at the cross. And yet afterwards, the ruach, the breath of God, a mighty wind rushing fills them. And he said, power comes upon you. To what? To be bold. Witnesses, testimony. You're going to be the person that faces a world that will hate you just like it hated me, Jesus said. But you're not going to be cowering in fear because you're going to be bold as a lion because you have the breath of God in you. And you know what? Sometimes you see a challenge in front of you and we have put way too much poo-pooing on the Holy Spirit. You have got to be bold in your confidence in what the Word says. Pray in the Spirit because it stirs your boldness. You got to do it. And there's times where you need to, I don't know, wherever you're at, it doesn't even matter who's there. And if you'd believe this weird concept of it's only done in private when no one's watching, don't live your life that black and white. Sometimes the boldness has to happen while you're walking down the street on the sidewalk or whatever, and you'll feel fear come up and you'll be hearing the voice of the enemy saying, no, 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 no. And you got to remember who's with you. You got to remember all these things we've been talking about, and you might need to take a minute and stir up the breath of the Holy Spirit in you and start praying in tongues and be like, oh, man. And what you will do is you're probably going to get a lot of attention from whoever's right there. What is going on? That person is mumbling in a weird language and walking around and not even talking to me, talking to someone else. What's happening? And then when you turn and say, hey, the Lord told me, they'd be like, yes, A, I don't know if you're crazy and about to kill me, but I'm going to listen to what you say. And man, when the word of the Lord comes forth, it's amazing what God can do.
But you got to stir yourself up. Amen. So with that, let's stir up our worship leader. Let's stir our worship leader up. And I want to ask you to stir yourself up. So go ahead and stand up if you want. I'll tell you, these last two, these last three, sorry, that I'm going to cover, I believe they're so good. But we can stop right here. For some of you, you just need God to breathe some fresh things into your life. I want you to know, I'm going to encourage you in this way. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And because God's with you, you can do valiantly. Do you believe that this morning? With God, you can endure all things. Who here in this room has been believing the lie that you can't make it? You've not realized that God's been with you. You can make it. God's with you. Some of you have believed the false idea that you need someone else with you other than God so that you can make it. Start with God. Start with God. Because with God, you can do all things. Don't let the lonely birds steal the focus. Keep your focus on, with God, I can do all things. You need to start saying that to yourself every single day. Is that self-talk? Yes, it is. It is. But do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. Oh, with God, I can do valiantly. I can scale walls. That's what the psalmist said. I can face a troop. I can do anything. I can kill giants. I'm a giant killer. With God, I can do all things. Apart from that, I can't do anything, God. But with you, I can do all things. Come on, who believes that? Who believes it in here but needs it to get to your heart? How does that happen? You need a revelation, don't you? You need to see yourself differently. You need to see this world differently sometimes. You need God to do a miracle in your eyes, and you need to see what only God can reveal. You need a revelation. Who's been needing a revelation? You just didn't have the words to say, Pastor, I know that's what I needed. I need a revelation. If you needed a revelation, you ask the Lord today, and He is not evil. He's not playing hide and seek with you. You ask Him to show, He will show. He will reveal. Some of you need that. Some of you have filled your mind with things you've been listening to that have been so contrary to Scripture, or it's been things that sound good in the earthly sense, but it is not the time that you're living in. And you need to hear the things that are appropriate for right now. What is God saying to you? What is His Word saying to you? I don't want to know what your own mind and your own flesh says to you, your negative side. Anybody in this room deal with a negative side? Go ahead and raise your hand real high. I deal with the negative side sometimes. Look at this. Look around to the rest of the negative people. These are your Eeyore clan. We are the Eeyore clan, okay? We can talk a big talk sometimes, but then other days we're like, oh, woe is me. I've lost my tail again. Life stinks. It's horrible. Okay, for all the Eeyores that are recovering, you need to stop listening to your negative naysaying self. Shut that off. I give you permission to do that. And you need to fill your mind and your heart with the things that God says about you. And think of the children's book. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. You know, little choo-choo train going up the hill. You need to start thinking you can. And listening to those voices. Can you put this into practice by starting to talk to each other the Word of God? Wally and I talk, whenever he comes up, we talk really most of the time about Bible stuff. And until one of us falls asleep. And no, not really. And we just talk about the Bible. Can you do this? If you are struggling with that negative mindset, can you just stop talking about the circumstances and talk instead about the Bible? Just start talking the Word of God. Ask each other this question. You can practice it right now. What's God saying? What is God saying to you? Just turn to someone and say, what's God saying to you? This is a good question. You need to ask that every day. And the nice thing is you won't get an answer from people who don't walk with the Lord. They'll go, I don't know. Well, make something up. you don't want to make anything up. But what is God saying to you? And hear what the Lord is saying. Man, for some of you in this room, it is the most difficult thing for you to do, to wait in the presence of the Lord. But you can't outrun your supply. You've got to wait and gain fresh supply. That strength, you can't do it without waiting on the Lord and gaining fresh supply. What has your quiet time been like lately? Have you needed to spend time with the Lord, but you've neglected it? Yeah, I just showed you why you're struggling with strength. You've been trying to do all the things that God calls you to do, but you're not waiting on the Lord. If you're thinking, I wait on the Lord, but I'm still weak right now. I'm still not bold. I'm kind of timid. Well, the problem might be development. What was okay for a while, God is saying, come up higher. You might have started at one spot and it really was breakthrough because the grace of the Lord is teaching you, training you for war. You don't just play war games with wood swords. At some point, he's going to give you a real sword, and it gets dangerous. You might be in a new phase, and God is saying, wait on me, wait on me. And it's going to look different than what you've been comfortable with. It might require fasting. It might require bigger sacrifice, time away from the things you're comfortable with. And you know, you can be a young person in doing this. In fact, I think that's when it's really powerful. We need an army of Josiahs that are willing to consecrate their hearts and come up higher. So gain some courage by waiting on the Lord, like we're doing right now. We're just waiting on the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Acts 1:8, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit, the wind, the breath of God comes upon you. Praise you, Jesus. Before worship was over, I told you I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted to pour out gifts. Those gifts are delivered not by Amazon Prime, but by the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus, we can't do this without you. We need you, Father God. Lord Jesus, we need your Spirit to flood our hearts and our minds. Not to be an exhibition, not to just show you off in a weird, proud way, but Lord, we need you. You can show up and make your glory known. Holy Spirit, you can pour out from on high a wind that can't be contained in natural walls. Lord, a wind that catches the heart of every person in this room. Inspiration to be bold as a lion. Father God, today in this room, let us be men. Let us be women who capture inspiration from the wind of the Spirit. Lord, come and breathe afresh on our hearts. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Man, we serve a mighty God, don't we? Well, we're going to take a couple minute break just like that. Normally we sing a song, we do a little dance, and we go eat some brownies or cookies or all that kind of, well, no, those are just the things I like. Donuts, cinnamon rolls. But can we maintain just a presence here of waiting on the Lord? And if you're not done yet, there's still more to be eaten. And I believe we will spend some time today, and we're going to pray one more time before we close in overflow. But I believe the Holy Spirit has got some stuff in store for us. And the people you're standing with, you need them. And you need them to be bold like lions. And they need you to be bold like a lion. And so let's press in, amen. Now, if you got to go, you got to go. So Lord's blessings upon you. You are officially dismissed. Go have some fun. And we're going to be here and have some fun too. So God's blessings with you. 5 minutes, we'll be back in here.